Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
Someone hit a bomb tonight.
Swung on belted to a Chip Carey when it only travels 300 feet.
It's off the end of the bat. They're wing and eyeing on every fly ball here tonight.
Kyle Schwarber, can he have one strikeout where it's not Blue's fault?
Come on. Wow, old school Shep referring to the umpire as Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
What are you, 80?
I used to umpire for a couple of summers. I hated it so much.
Little boy Blue.
Why did you volunteer to do that?
It's good money. I did it with my cousin, and it was something that you could do around.
How much does an umpire make?
You can make like 60, 70 bucks a game.
He needed the money.
I umpired seven-inning girls softball where they'd like put it up on a tee for second and third graders.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world. They call the game after 2 hours. Here's 65 bucks.
I'm the man at the ballpark everyone hates.
The umpire?
No, Billy Crystal.
One time I showed up to be the field umpire for my cousin. He was doing one of those like second or third grade games and they only had one umpire. Why do we have two umpires today? Just because I had smoked and wanted to go hang out with my cousin.
It's like the World Series. You get the best umpires out there.
And I punched a girl out at first base and the first baseman dropped the ball. And there's this like 10-year-old girl looking up at me like, Daddy, he doesn't know the rules.
Good rule of thumb. Treat each of these girls as you would treat your mother.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
And I'm stoned out of my mind. I checked myself out of the game, went to the car, sat in the Camry for the rest of the game.
What in the hell are you doing? Here's an umpire who knows nothing about the game of baseball.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Guilty as charged. I was a terrible umpire.
Yeah, well, you disrespected the craft completely.
for the money.
And I think it's a great story. But I thought yesterday of your, I guess you'd call it a scam. No, not a scam, but a business. You and your
the Desperate
your
House Guys?
Desperate House Guys. That's, yeah. That's fairly genius.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought it was. We saw market inefficiency. People were willing to pay local kids. And I didn't even tell you on the flyer, we had our like at, you went to Kansas, I went to Syracuse. So we had our like at ku.edu, at syr.edu email addresses. So they're like, man, these are some college kids just trying to make money while they're
that
home.
That is so, so smart. Then they see these two skinny little kids show up at the door. They're not moving the piano.
Yeah,
no way.
But we would say that we could do it and just... Oh, God, I still feel bad for the people whose wall we tore apart trying to bring a dresser down the stairs.
Nice.
We cost them way more damage, and then they still paid us.
Did they really? After you knocked out drywall?
She gave us an extra $100 to share. Well, because the husband called us over, you know, to move the furniture. And then they had a son who was playing video games in the living room. And I was like, man, this kid would be kind of useful lifting this dresser. He looks a little stronger than me. And we didn't do anything. And then we were like, they like offered us water after the job was done or whatever. And we had tore legitimately like a fist-sized chunk out of the drywall of their main staircase wall. And she's like, oh, what are your names? I was like, Danny, and this is Sean. She goes, your name's Danny? Our son's name is Danny. Give him a little bit of a tip. So we got a tip because I had the same name as her son. I'm telling you, man, people on the North Shore just throw their money around.
It's a great plan. It's a great plan. Pocket money, and you have no obligation. If you decide you're not going to do the job that you promised somebody you do, you just
there's no contract.
Yeah, just go burn a bowl and call some kids out when they're safe because you want to leave the game as early as possible and you go back to umpiring.
Yeah, there were no Yelp reviews or anything. We didn't have like a Better Business Bureau rating. We were just a couple of idiots.
Desperate house guys. That's very clever.
Thank you.
How's that working for you, being clever?
I mean, you know, it's I don't work for a living.
That's true.
So it beats working. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. And maybe I have – I'm not a good athlete, obviously. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. I know, breaking news. But I feel like I've got more self-awareness than Shep and Mac because you guys claim that not only do you get out of the way of the ball for Rizzo last night – with 100% certainty, but that you're also clearing the way for Rizzo. Like you're going to be his fly ball pop-up fullback.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. It's not even a question. It's really not difficult to pull
No, off. It is. It's not hard to figure. You know, okay. Maybe prior to game six of the 0-3 NLCS against the Marlins, maybe I would have not ever given it a minute's worth of thought. But I've thought about it since then, and when I've only had seats, I think, once where I could have been involved in a play, and we had a conversation. That was 5 years after Bartman.
Yeah.
There were people we were talking before the game started over at then U.S. Cellular Field, and we said, hey, if anything's near us, just stay the hell out of the way. It's just, when you have that seat, to me, it's your responsibility to be aware.
What if the ball is coming and it's for the team you're not rooting for? Do you go for it?
Like, you stand in the way. Don't move.
I'd get out of the way.
I'd get out of the way.
Yes, I would get out of the way. Yes.
I wouldn't. No. If it's a meaningful game.
Would you play the ball?
If it's not a meaningful game, like, and it's, you know, Cubs are 20 games out of it, yeah, I don't care. I'll get out of the way for whoever's coming to make the play. But if it's a meaningful game, you're damn right I'm standing there, standing my ground.
So you're the 10th man. Catch.
Yes.
You're the 10th defender.
But it's not hard to think of getting out of the way, though, because on these plays, it's not like it's a line shot where you have a reaction like that. You have, I don't know, how long is a pop-up like last night? How long is that in the air for? 8 seconds?
Probably
roughly
not that long.
7 seconds?
Eight seconds?
I don't think that long.
No, probably half of that.
Okay, even 4 seconds. It's not like it's a screaming liner coming straight at you. You have time to react and be like, oh, yeah.
You do.
Where am I sitting? I'm sitting in the front row.
Right.
I have been
since 7 o'clock tonight.
A net is in front of you.
Not to the side, obviously.
What inning was that in?
It was in the ninth.
Ninth inning.
Okay.
You've been sitting there for literally 9 innings watching a game knowing I'm in the front row. Depends. Sometimes none. Sometimes
Shep's
six.
Not much of a drinker. Sometimes nobody here on the show is much of a drinker. I haven't been to any ball games with Tanny, so I don't know what he drinks. But none of us drink much.
Oh, so you didn't see me run on the field last night?
The guy did. It took like a basketball team to take him down.
The guy did have his sick Jordans on, like Tanny likes to wear around here. So who knows? It could have been him.
It was a good look. So you're telling me you've been at a game for 3 hours, you maybe had a couple of cold ones, you're in a $400 or $500 seat, maybe you're conducting a business deal, maybe you're texting with your kids.
Are you conducting the baseball or the business deal with your baseball mitt on?
He didn't have a mitt?
Or a glove.
Sure.
He went up with his hands.
No, bare hands.
Okay, because there were like two people in that picture that had a mitt or a glove.
And you're in the ball's going up. The majority of people in that section turned their back to the field because they didn't know if it was going to get over the net and if it was going to land behind them. It's kind of a one in a million shot, Doc, for a pop-up to land in the front row while going over the net. It's a fairly remarkable place for that ball to land.
It's an odd angle. I'll grant you that.
You can say that about literally any seat that's in the front row.
But like, if you're flush with the end of that net, though, you got to be. It's obvious to you that Rizzo could come in and reach in what is then your lap around that net, and that's what happened. I'm not saying the guy should be, you know, have we identified this man yet?
You find this man.
Get Julian Green on the phone. Maybe he'll talk about this. I'm not saying the guy should be chastised and be just, I think it's silly. I believe Shep would be aware of it. I know I would be mindful of it. And I would like to think that others have learned from what happened with Moises Alou and Steve Bartman 15 freaking years ago that could happen to them.
I learned from that too, but my takeaway from that is don't shame the fan who goes from the ball. The guy is still in hiding.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, I'm not saying shaming him. I'm just saying I think more people should be aware of it is all.
Right, yeah. It's not right to shame a guy and ruin his life over it and put him into hiding. No one's saying that. Also saying, no, you can get out of the way. Like, it's really not that hard to do.
You'd think not.
Like,
you would think not.
There's a pop up, and I have 3-4 seconds to kind of figure out, okay, this thing's coming towards me. All right, I'll at least back away a hair, lean back. It's not difficult.
You wouldn't try to catch, you wouldn't want the ball?
100% certainty.
He wants the out.
100% certainty in that
situation. He
wants
the out, yeah. Nick knows Anthony Rizzo's on the team he roots for, so he wants the out. He doesn't want the ball.
Okay.
He can get a ball somewhere else.
100% certainty. Like, if you were to put me in those seats and that exact thing happens, that not only would I be out of the way, I'd be doing my damnest to get everyone else out of the way.
You're a diehard Cubs fan who's locked into the game. You work in sports radio. Fair to say.
Man, am I cool.
Yeah, you're a very cool guy. I mean, high school athlete legend, Cole City. Are you in the Cole City Hall of Fame? If not, you should be.
Well, they need to build a Hall of Fame first.
You could be in the inaugural class.
Yes, charter member.
What percentage of fans in that situation do you think have the same awareness with you? Would you say you're in the 98th percentile of fans?
Oh, I think you're selling me short.
Right, the 99th percentile there? And I agree with you, by the way. We've been to games together. I'm in
sure
my phone more than you.
You're probably right, yes. But it's like, like, it's hard for me to comprehend how hard it is to get out of the way of that. Like, my brain cannot process how someone can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I better stand here and get that foul ball for little Johnny at home. Like,
I'm the same way. It boggles my mind that people are so unaware.
What else do you guys think that you could do if put in that situation? Because, like, my dad's the guy who thinks, like, if the pilot had the heart attack, he'd be able to land the jetliner. And I'm like, Dad, you're out of your damn mind.
I would like to believe that with proper, I don't know, the right person on the other end of, like, the headset,
yeah,
that I could at least give the thing a fighter's chance to land.
See,
I mean, it might
what we're dealing with here.
It might.
I'm not.
We're dealing with machismo ego.
No.
That's what we're dealing with.
No, that's not machismo as much as it is common sense. There's nothing that's macho or manly about getting out of somebody's way. That's being aware. It's not macho.
They're macho
and
ducking away.
You said you'd block people. That you would create, like, a cavern for Rizzo to be able to catch the ball.
Yeah.
You do like a box out. Yes.
Yeah, box him out. Box him out.
So
put both
ridiculous.
Arms out. And yes, you kind of keep the. You don't think you could pull that off?
No! I'd be worried about the ball hitting my head.
This task that you're asking or implying here.
The only
thing
it's
not like you're asking to jump across 3 rows of seats and make a diving catch and have everyone give you a standing ovation. Oh my God, he caught that foul ball. It's simply stand up and kind of put your arms out and move back. Okay. There's space for Anthony Rizzo to make a catch.
All you got
to
do.
I don't get what's the challenging part of that.
I don't either. But unlike Shep, I'm not going to try to land a plane. I'm going to let someone else who's got a little bit more level-headed than I try to land the plane.
I didn't say I would successfully pull it off,
yeah.
But you better be believing you're going to land that plane or that plane's never going to land. I do know.
To answer your question, Parks, I've fantasized about rescuing a child from a mad dog before. If I was in that position, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You'd run into the building.
Anytime I ever hear of a story of a child being mauled by a dog, I wish I would have been there for you, pal. I'd have taken that dog out. It's a fantasy of mine, and now I've shared it with everybody.
Have you ever been in a situation there? Like, have you ever talked to a therapist about why that's a fantasy that you have?
No, I don't. We have so much other stuff to discuss.
Yeah, because I've had the stop the hijacker fantasy. The guy bull rushes the plane, but I'm the one who stands up and, like, clubs him before he can get to the cockpit, and I have my, like, Jack Bauer moment.
Uh-huh.
I've had that fantasy.
Attaboy!
But I'm
like a 6-year-old trying to take over the cockpit? Like, who are you?
Well, that's the thing. It's a fantasy, Shep. I'm aware that I'm not the guy that you want in the front row. I'm, like, the guy that you want in the back scheming the plan of how we're going to take back the plane.
Perhaps equidistant from the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the check your app.
I'm the planner, and then the strong guys are up at the front with, you know, the water and the coffee and the drink cart to barge in there. But, yeah, it's my fantasy. But I don't think I could do it. You guys think you could do it.
Yeah.
Chef's looking at me like I got three heads.
I think probably, I don't know, reading people on this, and we've had 15 years to check sports fans and non-sports fans' temperature. You don't have to be a sports fan to weigh in on this, on how people feel. I would say it's probably a little bit more than 50% say, you know, no, every fan would do that. That's what I would do probably. And less, little less than half of us would do the right thing and not
right
get our, that's the right thing, is mm-hmm. to not be involved in the play. You know, when I was little, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, but for many years I had read, I don't have any desire to ever catch a foul ball, especially if it's in the field of play or right off of the field of play, because I have a good seat. I don't need that foul ball. I need the out.
What percentage of people? So that's what you're saying the feedback is when they're thinking about
it. Yeah, the feedback is more people are forgiving, or more people understand that that's a typical, that they think it's a typical response when given that situation.
But you know humans. We're not exactly the smartest species in the world. What percent? So that's what people are saying. There's yeah. people are saying though they'd be the hero. They would do this. They would do that. What percentage of people that are in the front row at Wrigley do you think would actually pull a Dan McNeil and box out and allow Rizzo to make that catch? Well, like, honestly, because I think it's 5% or less.
Maybe the box out's an exaggeration. Get the hell out of the way is the best way to say it. Is not become a part of the action.
Yeah,
I definitely would know my first baseman is coming near me. I would check for that. I would see, is Tony coming? Look, here comes Tony. He's got his glove out. He might be able to make a play, but I want the baseball.
I feel like the net's a big factor that you guys aren't weighing in here. There's a net in front of you. You could be on your phone the entire game in that spot. You have an expectation of safety.
To the fan's right, however, to the fan's right was first base and a charging Anthony Rizzo. Vision unobstructed.
Yeah.
And even if the net were in the way, that net is translucent. You know, it doesn't block your vision. You can still see a large man moving toward you through that net.
Who else out there would be a hero? That's what I want to know. There are a lot of heroes that are landing planes and defusing bombs and letting yep. Rizzo make the catch. You're all insane.
I don't know if that makes us a hero. I don't think there's anything. I think it's common sense. I think it's just... it's just awareness. You know, it's the ninth inning. You've had a long time to digest that beautiful view and how close you are. And yet when it comes time for out number two, you get giddy about a souvenir. It doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just me. And that's just Shep.
It is. Texters are saying, humans are not exactly the smartest species in the world. Let's unpack that quote a little bit, Parco. Yeah, we might be the smartest species on the planet, but that doesn't mean we're smart. So if I said we are not the smartest species in the world, that's probably dumb. But
whatever.
Whatever.
Ish. Get out of Tony's way. Get out of his way. Let him catch the ball.
How do you not notice a 6'4", 6', whatever Anthony Rizzo is.
Because it's 4 seconds and you're looking for a ball and there's a net.
There's a massive human standing beside you.
Do you think he came over and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, excuse me, Mr. Corporate America lawyer man, can you please move out of the way so I can catch this baseball?"
No, he simply came up and he's 6'4", 230 pounds or what Anthony Rizzo is. Kind of hard to miss the guy when he's standing next to you.
I can't believe the number of heroes we have. We have a heroic audience. We do. We have a very brave, heroic.
See,
and I have the bravest co-host and executive producer in the world.
That's your description for it, heroic. I'm going with sensible.
Sensible.
That's I'm not claiming heroism here. I'm just claiming for a rare opportunity, sensibility.
All right, well, we'll hear from the heroes next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're not going to demonize anybody for trying to reach a foul ball. That said, if it's possible, while you feel that when we're in the field and you feel that instinct to reach for the ball, if your brain can overpower your heart and you can remember that we're trying to get those one of those precious 27 outs, we would really appreciate it if you could refrain and sit back and let our corner infielders or catcher make the play.
It was great stuff, Theo, with Mully and Haw today. That audio brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Very diplomatic from the boss, the president of operations. That's what you got to be. You got to be diplomatic.
I thought that was right. Like, in an idealized world, in a utopic society, the fans play defense against the other team and they help their team make the catch. But you say you're not in the stands, you're not there for the White Sox. Like, if you're in the front row at a Sox game and it's Sox Indians to win the division and an Indians player is coming over to catch the ball, you're getting out of the way of that.
Yeah,
too.
I want to remove myself from the equation and give the ball player his opportunity to catch the ball if I'm ever in that position again.
Because a lot of texters are saying that you got to do it for the home team. You're only there to make it easier for them.
Oh, so get in the way for the opposition.
Yeah, Shep says okay. he'd get in the way if it was the Pirates.
You stand there and you jump your arms up and whatever you have to do to distract a Josh Bell or whoever it might be.
So he's
come
a big
get some of this, Starling Marte.
Wow.
You're the X factor. You're the 12th man. You're ready to get in the game. The 26th man, if you will.
Sure.
You're the home field advantage.
The 12th man in baseball. I don't know what that really gets you, but yes, the 26th man or the 10th man. Yeah.
Figure of speech. Don't have to take everything so literally.
Yeah. You're the home field advantage in this situation.
Right. Got a job there. You got a duty. You got a responsibility, Mr. Fan. And it's not to sign that business deal or whatever you're doing in the front row.
Okay. And so Shep's fantasy also is being able to land the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Minus.
It wasn't. You asked if I could.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? If I had the proper, I don't know, the right person in a headset, I'd at least get that thing to the runway and give it a fighter's chance to land.
Yeah, okay, you're right. I kind of co-opted that fantasy because mine was stopping a hijacking. My dad thinks that he could land the plane if necessary. And I'm like, you took a lesson in like a single-engine Cessna in the early 70s.
That gives him a tremendous advantage over you or me or a lot of other people.
True.
One session's better than anything.
No question. But Mark and Glenn Ellen is going to indulge us here. I'm told you're a former Air Force mechanic? What insight can you give us about if any of us could land the plane?
That's right, Mr. Parkins. I was an Air Force jet engine mechanic. I used to be in the flight simulator practicing certain emergency procedures and that. And after I got those down, the gentleman in flight simulator showed me how to take off and land an F-16. And I have a feeling that Mr. Nick Shepkowski would have no problem bringing one down if there wasn't any serious mechanical failure while in flight.
So you're telling me I'm flying on Southwest out of Midway. Shep and I are on a 737, and he's just watching flight tracker. And all of a sudden, simultaneously, pilot and co-pilot at 35,000 feet, heart attacks, dead. They get on the horn. Their last thing is, Shep, in 8C, you got to come to the front. You put on the headphones. That guy lands the plane back at Midway, a 737 jetliner.
Midway with short runways.
I want Shep to have
10,000 feet. I think he could bring it in.
Let's take him to O'Hare, though, just to give him a few extra feet, since this is his first run through.
Okay. I would think he'd have a pretty decent chance of pulling it off, and so would you and Danny Mack.
Wow. 64?
And I want to weigh in on the foul ball. Oh. After the Bartman incident, I talked with friends and that about if that happens to us ever, whether we're out at the old cell or guaranteed late field, just clear out of the way and say, Kurnerko's got a chance. Get out of the way. It's coming. Or die. Just get out of the way for die and let him catch it. We talk about this all the time.
Well, I mean, be prepared.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Talking about it before the game, and then you're on your phone with three beers and a bowl deep, and you're talking to your date, and then the balls all of a sudden hit at you. It's a different scenario. Pre-game planning.
Okay, it wouldn't be for me.
I know, because you're a hero.
It doesn't make me a hero. It just makes me aware of a front row seat. That's all. That's all. There's nothing heroic about it.
Dave in Downers Grove's on the score. What's up, Dave?
How you guys doing?
Hi, Dave.
Doing all right. Myself, just getting out of work, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing you guys talk about it. It's common knowledge that I'm also a professional wrestler. Do that on the weekends.
It is common knowledge. Danny's known about that about you for years.
I hear you're great.
Hold on.
when the fans are sitting in the front row at a pro wrestling show,
Dave,
you got to know one thing. At some point, somebody's going to come flying over the ropes and into the crowd, whether there's guardrails or not. You know that. As a wrestling fan, you know that the front row is going to be for somebody's coming into you. So you can either stand there and get knocked over, or you can get, you know, up off the chair and just move out of the way. It's the same thing. You got a foul ball coming at you. There's two outs, and you
it's
know
not the same we're, thing.
We got the division on the line here. You bring a glove and you're sitting in the front row right behind the backstop. Why on earth? And being from, you know, a Cubs standpoint, Steve Bartman. How do you not know that? Why is that always not in the back of our minds right now as fans to know that?
I don't
know,
Dave.
We're talking about in the second, you know.
What level of wrestling are you in, Dave?
That's what he called to talk about.
What did you say? What kind of wrestling?
What level of wrestling are you in?
It's professional, but it's on the amateur and the independent circuit. So I'm an independent contractor, you could say.
Okay.
So you guys like work the Naperville Rib Fest and you know, flea markets
that
and things like
stuff,
that.
Yeah.
What's your wrestling name?
Dave Rydell.
Dave Rydell.
Okay. Nothing fancy. I'm not Dave the Crusher or you
yeah,
know,
that's
Dave
what
the
I was hoping.
Dave
for.
Rydell, that strikes the fear into opponents.
I want you in the front row of all big Cubs games going forward, Dave. You'd be prepared.
Oh, absolutely.
See, he's the guy.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
we give
Thanks
him a job.
For the call.
Yep.
It's just like being in the front row at a wrestling match. There's an expectation of a big Dave Rydell flying into the crowd.
You
over
know
a rope.
That. You may get hit by
Obviously.
A cane, a chair, a tire iron. They still use those props in wrestling. I haven't watched wrestling in a long
I have no
time.
No idea. I want to know Dave's finishing move.
His finisher is being boring on Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah. He bores you to death.
Just kidding, Dave Rydell.
In Logan Square, John, would you be a hero in the front row?
I'd love to say yes, but I have no idea because it's in the heat of the moment. The reason I called is because people keep bringing up Bartman, and it just aggravates the shit out of me.
There you go. You can't say that on the radio, Chiefy.
This is a banner day for callers.
All right, he got to go.
See, and we typically don't take a lot of telephone calls, so
I'm kind of regretting it. This is fun. Everyone out there is such a hero. Sorry, you don't like how I call him hero.
Well, no, you mock me, so I would if I were in your headphones, I would continue to use it, even though I'm not saying I'm the one who's diminishing how tough this is. I'm the one who thinks it's common sense and a no-brainer that you know you're in the front row and that something like that could happen. That's not heroic to me, but you run with it if that works for you.
It does. And yeah. By the way, a lot of you are making me feel better about flying. A lot of you are saying it'd be no problem for us to land a 737.
Yeah, I'd rather you not do it if I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'd rather someone else give it a try.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Anybody but Parkins, right?
I get it. Like, but I'm such a control freak that like if the situation happened, I don't know what I'd want to do. Like, would you want to be at the controls
no,
or would you want
no,
one random guy
no,
on the plane to do it?
I don't trust my temperament for it. I would, I've never operated anything remotely close to that. I can trailer a boat. I can drive a boat, but I want nothing to do with that. Yeah.
But you can't, like, take a straw poll at 30,000 feet, right? Like, who's the most qualified of us to do this?
You'd have a little time. Yeah. Because Shep's a good estimator of how long things stay in the air without a pilot, Shep.
Yeah, excellent question.
Just on autopilot. They have a few minutes? I think they'd have a few minutes, right?
Yeah, a few minutes.
You'd have a couple
but
minutes.
If you're in a nosedive, whoever's in row one has to get in there.
You're in a nosedive.
This is important stuff,
yeah,
Mac.
This is good.
In Burbank, Chip's on the score. Last up, Chip, what do you think?
I think that Mac's right, and I think that you are telling me something that I don't believe is true. You're a Cub fan, and you're telling me you would have tried to catch that ball? I think you would have done everything in your power to make certain that Rizzo had a shot. And what bothers me is a guy that caught the ball, who did he think was next to him in the big white uniform with a mitt and a blue hat? It just bothered me. When I saw it, I would have slugged the guy. That's me.
Wow.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks. Glad I'm glad you're on my side since you're punching fans who catch foul balls. I just cancel all the guests today. Let's just talk to the people, shall we?
That's fine.
I'd have slugged the guy. Yeah, wow.
By the way, I'm not even saying I was trying to catch it. I would want the ball to not hit me.
I watched the replay several, it wouldn't hurt you, several times, and unless I didn't see somebody's eyes go, it looked like everybody was looking at the ball. Everybody in that immediate area, in the row right behind him, the guy to his left, everybody was looking up. I didn't notice anybody looking at Rizzo.
No. Because
I get that proves your point. People are selfish and unaware.
Those are my people. The people that are punching fans are your people.
Oh, no.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What can we say about this guy? The ancient Romans had a word for it. In all candor, though, we love you. Buon Natale. Cendan.
Cendan.
Brent Musburger in 15 minutes. Bottom of the hour on the Score was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Orland Park native, Notre Dame alum, and two-time AHL All-Star TJ Tynan will lead the Chicago Wolves as they open their 25th season on Saturday, October 13th at Allstate Arena. Free parking courtesy of the 2019 Kia Sportage. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are bidding adieu and saluting Brendan McCaffrey, our sports director.
B-Mac.
The
artist formerly known as Baldy McGrindy once upon a time. Yeah, he's got a terrific opportunity out east, and he is leaving the radio station after a nice long run. One of the more likable guys behind the scenes here. They're all likable in their own unique way, but he's a good dude, and I wish nothing but him and his family the best. I told him, man, you only get one life. Living in another city, I am envious of you for giving it a try. Not that I don't like living here, but he's going to go experience something new out east, and it's in radio. He seems to be very happy with it.
Yeah, and it's great. I know on a family and personal level, too, with his wife's family being out there, so he's going to be able to do that. And, you know, BMAC has been very nice to me consistently since I've been here and very welcoming. And that was a big deal for me trying to come in and, you know, integrate into the Score family. Yeah, exactly. Not the easiest clubhouse, if you will, to break into. So BMAC was great to me. He came on the Vegas trip like a month into me getting the job, maybe 2 months in to me getting the job. And we did Cubs spring training in Vegas. So, you know, if you go to Vegas with someone, there's an instant bond there. We talked Sopranos. We talked Vegas. Mm-hmm. We had beers. He complained about the station and its inner workings. It was a great time.
I have admired how our production staff, they spend a lot of time with each other. It seems like it's not just work friends. A lot of you guys seem like you are legitimately friends and do a ton of things, not just in town, going on road trips, and that's very, very cool.
Well, BMAC means a lot, especially to our guys on the other side of the glass, Shep and Tanny. So I know this is more for you guys because you guys are closer to him than we are, but I know we're all going to miss BMAC.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's see how close we are. We finish each other's sentences back here.
It's adorable.
Mac, you hit it right on the head, though. You know, these guys, you know, Brendan, you talk about Shep, Herb, like we've, you know, traveled to different cities together, spending hours and hours in a car or on a plane together, you know, being at my wedding, my kid's first birthday party. Like, you know, it's this job has a way of binding people together because just you're in a room. I talk to Shep and I talk to Brendan more than I talk to my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the room for about 5 hours each day. Brendan, I'm in the, you know, production studio for about 2 hours. So whether you like it or not, you become close, you know, just because of the close proximity to working alongside someone. And Brendan's just a great dude. He's going to do great things. And I wish there were more stories that I could share on air about him. Most of them I can't, but you know, he's just one of these guys. He's all gas and no brakes, Brendan is. And you know, he's just a one of a kind guy, and we're gonna miss him around here because I tweeted earlier, he's an invaluable resource to me in the production studio because I'll always run things by him. Like, is this sound good? Does this sound bad? Is this funny? Is this not funny? Like, you know, I need something to pump this up a little bit, make it a little better. Like, you know, you got a clip or, you know, music that I'm not thinking about that I miss. And he's there every day and where we gab away, you know, for a couple hours each day. And I'm going to miss that part the most, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a producer's background, so he's and I know he's become a really good friend to you, so yeah, he's an invaluable resource.
They travel ever. There were never any outsiders at all. It got to feel very normal. It's like Karen said in Goodfellas about when we went to Vegas, we were always in each other's company.
It's like you died and went to producer heaven. Go ahead, Shep.
Oh, I would to echo kind of what Tanny said. It's just Brendan, I think, back, and we were all kind of hired right in a row. Tanny was hired right around Thanksgiving of 07. I was very shortly after that. Brendan was the next hire right in a row, and it's you kind of you go through the entire working up together, and it's you become it's like a brotherhood, essentially, of I'm stuck doing an overnight this Saturday. I'm stuck doing an overnight this Sunday. And it's you have your guys that you lean on, and God, this sucks. Why am I getting stuck on this shift? I'm making $60-some a shift here. This is BS, and you go through it all together, and then I'll never like forget the times with Brendan, with Tanny, the one year that we were doing Bears post games together. Tanny and I would be back here, and Arizona Jack would call. Every week I'd tell him, I know you're from Wrigleyville originally, and you moved to Arizona. Don't say it on the air. Brendan would be out on remote with Doug and OB. Tanny would immediately, as soon as Arizona Jack would say, oh, I was used to be in Wrigleyville, Tanny would fade with his phone, and all right, we got to let you go there, Jack. And then Brendan would come back here.
Bears just lost to the Falcons in the fourth quarter, and everyone's going crazy. And this guy's, I'm originally from Wrigleyville, but I live in Arizona now. It's like, all right already.
You get Brendan cussing his butt off in the talk back over that. Tanny playing with Arizona Jack, and all of a sudden, you know, afterwards, Brendan would come back here. We'd go watch Sunday Night Football, get wings together. And it was like, those are the days of you kind of look back on, and it's okay, it's cool to have a full time job now, and this part's all great, and it's what you hope for to keep going. But I mean, those are some real special times that I will always appreciate with these dudes.
Well, and I will always argue that Brendan has, people always ask me what's my favorite drop or clip in the score system, and I would argue it's this one right here.
Thank you very much. Was that Baldy McPherson? What was that?
McGrindy.
Let's go 2-1. Okay, enough of the Gillette. Lose it.
It just has everything. You got the coach music there. You've got Murph. You got Murph. PB slapping Brendan. And I always resented, you know, they used to call him Baldy McGrindy. That was his Boers and Bernstein intern nickname. And I was over here busting my ass on the night times working White Sox baseball as an intern. And they'd call him McGrindy. He was such a hard worker. But he was around when people were here. So I was like, oh, he must be a really hard worker because, you know, he's always moving around and he looks flustered like George Costanza in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
He looks busy, you know. Meanwhile, no one was here like at night when I was working. So I always thought
that.
So
you would have liked to have been McGrindy.
Oh, no, thanks. I'm good on that.
He does always look nice. He always has a tomato face.
Like, he always looks like he ran up a flight of stairs.
He's in the cherry cheeked Hall of Fame. No doubt.
And he's always running. I've never seen anyone in sports radio.
He might be the fastest walker I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, there is no, like calm walk with him. It's straight down the
years
hallway.
Of producing, fastest walker I've ever seen.
Like, it is always, like Tanny said, it's all gas. There's no brakes. Straight fastball. He's very Farnsworth-like in that there's nothing off-speed coming with Brendan ever.
He walks with purpose.
What's he doing?
There might be free food around the corner.
Apparently, there's another 1993 WWF video for him to have to go watch somewhere because every time you walk by his office, that's what he's doing. Like, it's always, oh, you see this? Mankind and Undertaker for WrestleMania whatever year? No, Brendan, I don't remember, but I'll watch it with you.
Now, he's taking a gig at Sirius XM, yes?
Correct.
In the NFL programming department.
Yeah, so he's getting back into the more of the producing stuff so he can have more of the creativity and hands-on with the programming as opposed to the management stuff. And, again, it's big for his family.
The management stuff.
Yeah, you know, management in this business seems awful. I'll just be honest.
His job is not an easy one, you know.
Because, thankless.
Yeah, it's thankless, and he's like a buffer between us and Mitch. And Mitch is great, and we love him. But like, you know, especially when you're working your way up, like, you know, there's things that responsibilities that need to be doled out, and he's got to communicate those things. And you know, he takes a lot of heat, you know, for people around here. And you know, he's done a great job doing that and keeping a calm work environment around here. You know, it's not an easy one. I'm sure. You know, I've talked to Mitch about that role Brendan's job, you know, recently, and he's like, you know, Tanny, I'm not the easiest guy to work for. I know that, you know, but I love him, you know. But you know, Brendan is—he's a great buffa. We had a lot of buffas around here, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's just lining up to take that job.
Are either of you two guys interested in it?
I lived with Brendan for about a year and a half, and I will never forget whatever the playoff game between the Vikings and the Packers, whatever round that was, wild card, where what was Joe Webb started a quarterback for the Vikings. We were having a party, hosting a party, have a group of people over. Brendan gets a call. Something with one of the feeds here. It's one of the part-time producers on a weekend. Something with one of the feeds isn't airing the DePaul game properly. And Brendan has to leave our party that we're hosting, come down here, and I mean, when I say literally hit two buttons and fix the problem. It's like, well, that's what Brendan had to do on his Saturday night when we're supposed to be watching the NFL playoffs and enjoying time together. That's what Brendan gets called to do. So to answer your question,
yeah,
not interested.
What was my question again?
Are you interested in the job?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
My wife told me specifically, do not apply for that job.
Yeah.
It's not a job. You know, Brendan's married. So I used to say it's not a job for a married guy, but it's definitely not a job for a guy with a kid or kids, you know, because of the on-call aspect. You know, you're dealing with phone calls like they happen in the middle of an overnight shift, like something's not working, you know, vault crash. They call Brendan. You know, they don't call Mitch. You know, they call Brendan about it, you know, because he can walk them through it. And that's just part of that job. And that, you know, if you don't hear Brendan's name, that means everything's running smoothly, and odds are he had a chance. He had a hand in that. So
okay, so you're out too. You're not.
I'm out
either.
I'm okay. Out. It's a job for a young man who can be, you know, who Mitch can crack the whip on.
I didn't think either of our guys were interested. I just wanted to confirm it though. It would have been.
Yeah,
it would
we're
have
keeping the team together.
Really been really cool if one of them were interested in it though, just so we could have that nervous tension on the air.
That would have been great.
Like if they were both vying for it, you know.
Maybe they're lying.
Yeah. Turns into the scene from Dark Knight, break the pool stick in half. One of you can walk out of here.
Oh, God. Yeah, it turned dark.
Tanny and I just tossed the pool stick out the window.
The official job is assistant program director. Is that what he's called? Or sports director?
He's called sports director, but that's
a funny name at a
job,
sports
though.
Station. He's the sports director.
Yeah, sports this way. That
Bulls,
way.
Ahead, over there. Bears that way. Cubs
it's the
here.
Assistant PD job, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So what are we looking at for a salary approximately on an assistant program director at the score? What's that about? $60K?
I don't know the answer to
that. I'm just guessing.
Have to go apply for a job.
I'm just guessing. Yeah. I'm just asking.
On second thought.
Now you're going to have them both running for the job, Mac. Yeah, I'd say probably.
Would you say probably around there,
north
right?
Of that. Yeah.
70?
In that area, I would think. I have no idea. Brent Musburger, you're proud of yourself for that.
I'm just checking to see what they're saying.
You're reading their
there.
Faces
yeah,
in there.
I see if one of them would, I don't want to lose them.
No, neither do I.
But if that's what they want to do, go do it.
Brent Musburger will join us coming up for the big football weekend. Then who do you love? Then Jason Stark on the score.
The auto owner player of the game is Jay Cutler.
Didn't we say Manning was the player of the game?
I don't know, Ed. I only read what's given to me. No.
You mean tell me our crack producer changed it?
I must have changed it.
He changed it?
He saw four touchdowns.
All right. When we go to the next break, Brandon, you will now be Brendan.
Brendan, that's his name.
Or Brenda. From Brandon to Brenda.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.